Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fan you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Hey, Road Trippin' fan. Welcome to another edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. And first and foremost, Happy New Year. We hope you all had a wonderful holiday season and that your 2018 is off to a great start, which I guess since we're dropping episode 63 as we speak, it has to be off to a great start, right? Well, let's get to it, because we have a fun one ahead. One thing is for sure, I thought having one Dookie joining Team Richard was a lot and would be the last time it ever happened, but guess again, Richard can't escape him. And so I encourage you to brace yourself for a little bit of everything as Plum Dog Millionaire, aka Mason Plumley, joins Team Richard for an in-depth conversation, a little trash talk, but more than anything, that unfiltered conversation. You ready? Let's do this. Richard, Allie, Mason, it's all yours.
Thanks, Allie. Yes, we are. Where the hell are we at? This is the beginning of a road trip.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Who
knows where the hell we're at? but yes, we are joined by our Allie and the one and only Mason Plumley. How you doing, Mace?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. No problem. So we there might be an interruption because we have some people that are going to be coming and going, but we just started talking about things, and it just got to a point where it was like we had to turn on the mics, right? And Allie was talking about, what are you laughing for?
Because I want to continue this conversation, but now we're on mic, which is fine.
No, but
welcome to our conversation.
Well, no, we're going to
get to the bottom of this because I have a very important question.
So we were talking about
we were talking about
the Jamal Murray podcast, and it got a little, it's because I was telling Mason beforehand, like, hey, we can talk about whatever you want. You can cuss. And Allie goes, well, yeah, we talked about Jamal's double hernia surgery. And I was like, yeah, how do you check for hernias? And he's like, oh, Mason, what do they do when they check us for hernias?
Grab your balls and cough.
Yeah, grab your balls and cough. And he had a double one, so he had a double finger. You know what I'm saying? He had a double finger, a double ball check. And so we talked about that.
So my question.
What is your question?
You know, we've had physicals since we were in middle school, right?
Yes.
A lot of different doctors. So I would say my freshman year of college, I had a doctor who just, you know, he put his fingers on my pubis, like right above the groin.
Are you about to give me like a Me Too story?
No,
like,
no.
What's going on?
No, I just want to know because he didn't actually have to cup me and ask me to cough. And so he just did that, and it was much less invasive, and I felt more comfortable. And then so all of a sudden I'm wondering why everybody else feels like they have to go the distance to figure out if you have a hernia.
Well, maybe this doctor wasn't as thorough as he should.
Well, just like he did it, I was like, wait, hold on, that's all you needed to do?
Well, you were talking about there's a certain doctor that all the guys know if they're going there, they're ending up getting surgery.
Oh yeah, it's a doctor in Philadelphia. He was the same doctor that did.
That's where they just recommended I go.
Yeah, really? Yeah, they say you go into him and you come out with a cut. right? But he is the best. Everyone, you know,
Dr. Myers.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone talks highly of him. I've never had to see him, thank God. The only time I'll go see him is if he does vasectomies. You know what I'm saying? So that's the next time someone will be doing surgery on that area of my body. But in case you guys didn't notice, we didn't do the toast. We shall do the toast now. No. Hi, Allie. Cheers.
Hey,
you said you don't drink, Mason.
Doesn't mean I can't toast.
No. You do not toast an empty glass. Why don't you drink? And why are you like turning red right now that you don't drink?
I'm not. I just haven't picked it up yet, but I'm sure I will.
Picked it up
hey,
yet?
So you never drink?
No, I've never drank.
All through college, all through Duke.
Yeah, but you know what? It got me invited a lot of places in college because everybody needs a driver.
You're the DD. So, like,
that's awful.
Like, yo, Mace, come with us.
You're like an adult babysitter when you're a designated driver. Who wants that job?
It wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Okay, so, like, is there anything behind it or are you just... You can tell the story.
You know, my brothers like to drink.
Oh, so I know. I got hammered with your brother. Me and your brother spent Thanksgiving together. Yeah.
So maybe watching that a little bit turned me off.
You're the oldest.
No, I'm the middle one.
Are you the middle one?
Yeah, Miles is the oldest. Marshall's the
youngest.
What
about your little sister?
I don't know. I haven't gone out with her in a while. She's definitely
getting hammered.
I don't know. She goes to Notre Dame, so maybe.
Oh God, Notre Dame. That's a
My whole family went to Notre Dame pretty much.
Did you?
No.
There you have it. So that's why you went out to California.
Okay, fair. But I still, Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame. I'm a Notre Dame fan.
I love Notre Dame. Rudy, all of that. She's trying to give you dad. Me and your brother spent Thanksgiving together. We did. We went to a Black Friday sale. I had to go buy an Xbox.
Where at?
When I played in Utah. So him and Channing, we played them the next day. So they came. They flew in on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So him and Channing came over to my house for Thanksgiving. And then we just ended up getting drunk and hammered. And then we went to like Black Friday sales. Yeah. So your brother definitely drinks.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you saw him and you were just like, no, drinking's not for me.
Yeah.
So like... Do you, like you say that you're going to start it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, I see that everybody drinks wine with dinner and stuff. I'll probably, you know, I want to save some things to pick up later in life. So,
wait, have you never, ever, ever drank, or you just don't drink?
I never have.
Well, I'm just gonna say here, we are more than honored to have your first drink be on the road tripping podcast. Yes. Oh gosh. Look at that.
You know the origin of the toast, by the way?
Yes.
Where you're supposed to actually pour in the other person's glass.
Well, it was supposed to be you clean the glasses together. That's why you cheers, right? Yeah. And, you know, the drinks were to kind of blend themselves. So if I was trying to poison you, that's where it all comes from. So, cheers. Are we going to have our first? No, these are glass. We don't want to do that. There's security deposits and shit. So cheers again. Cheers. Okay, look, he's smiling. Are we gonna get the Duke point?
First of all, the stuff doesn't taste good.
Well, it's white wine. It's
my whole thing is like I'm a sweet tooth. Like if something doesn't taste good, I'm not gonna have it.
Well, you should try it.
I have a lot of respect in that, actually.
I have zero respect for that.
You don't have to taste it to know.
Even Jesus drank wine. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't like Jesus, then I just can't really roll with you.
No, but you do what you want to do. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes, and I'm all about peer pressure. Like, I'm all about peer pressure. Peer pressure is one of my favorite things to do. Just being honest.
Is there any bit of a nutrition aspect to it, especially being an athlete?
Not really. I just haven't. Just no interest, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, this is so boring. Jeez. Gosh. Okay, so we talked a little bit about it. You have another brother that plays in the NBA, and then you have another brother. He's in the D League, but did he get drafted?
G League.
No,
he got picked up by the Knicks, spent a year with the Knicks, and now he's with the Clippers G League team. Yeah.
How's he liking it?
He complains about, like, obviously being with the Knicks and you're, you know, living the NBA life is a lot different than going to the G League. But he's playing well, and he's liking being in California, so that's cool. They're in Ontario, where we played preseason.
Yeah, that's not bad.
How close are all you guys?
We're close, yeah. We talk a lot. You know, we're all living by ourselves, so we talk a lot on the phone, FaceTime, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but the best is when you play each other in season, because then you can go in whatever city we... Marshall's been in good cities. Miles has been in good cities. So when we link up, it's
Miles was in Milwaukee. That's not a good city.
Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Phoenix was good. Now he's in Atlanta. He was in Charlotte.
Atlanta's a good city.
We've almost covered the whole league.
Yeah. I've almost covered the whole league by myself.
Through a Plumlee, we've covered the whole league.
Yeah, that's not bad. One of the things I wanted to talk about is we have a very young team, right? And everyone knows you're almost a vet on this team.
Which is crazy.
You are a vet on the team, but just in terms of the NBA, you're almost a vet. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was you came into this league with one of the most historic old man teams in the history of the NBA, right? So now, was that your rookie year or second year?
It's my rookie year.
So your rookie year, let's talk about the vets that you had.
Okay.
Right? Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce.
Yep.
Jason Terry.
Yep.
Jason Kidd.
Yep. We had a lot more than that.
I know, but
Kirilenko.
Kirilenko, but he had retired.
Reggie Evans.
Yes.
Yes.
Kirilenko had retired years before that. He just was still playing basketball.
He was chilling.
And you had Deron Williams on your team.
D. Will. Joe Johnson.
Joe was
12 years, 13 years.
Yeah, me and Joe
time.
Came in together.
Okay.
So being on a young team now and seeing some of the things that go on and then being with like true Hall of Fame vets.
Yeah.
Right? Guys that had dedicated their entire lives to this game and growing the game and playing the game the right way. What are the differences that you see now and then?
I think, you know, what's crazy is our record's a lot better now than it was with that team at this point. But older guys are so sure of themselves and not really open to
criticism.
To criticism or changing anything or any kind of negativity.
Yeah.
So, like, it didn't matter. I don't know what we started off that season, but I know at one time we were about 10-20. And there was no – they didn't welcome any criticism or any negativity in film and practice and, you know, it was just interesting. I mean, I think also – the older team guys were a lot louder. Like our team is so quiet.
Our team is so quiet.
Halftime, pregame, postgame, bus rides, plane rides. Like it was like plane rides with the Brooklyn team was like being in a club. Like I had to bring the speaker box every time we had card games going. It was loud. It was a lot of fun. And you know, this team, everybody gets on the plane. People watch their movies or people read a book.
How much of a shock was that for you when
I left?
Yeah. What was it? Was there a time where you were on the plane or something? You're like, holy crap, no one talks on this team.
Yeah. I mean, well, really, in Portland was the same way because I was a younger team that I joined. But yeah, the older guys were a lot louder, which you is kind of.
Kind of like
backwards.
Me, loud.
Yeah.
I'm just really loud all the time. Well, because it's just like we.
Well, and the other thing that I'll tell you is a huge difference. Like, they almost stopped in Brooklyn. They almost stopped giving us like pregame scouting reports or like personnel because everything that they recommended, the guy Paul would be like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna send him left and give him the jump shot. Like they had their own way of doing things. So like they challenged younger teams don't challenge the coaches as much.
Yeah.
That's all the older team did.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, and that's also why
the length, the shoot around.
But that's also why coaches don't always like older veterans, right?
Yeah,
because
they
make their jobs harder because a lot of times veterans can steer teams one way or the other.
No doubt.
It's like I understand shoot around length. I understand, you know, when you have practice this way or that way, and you're just like, why are we doing this? Right? Young players is like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is, you know, it's like A, B, C, D. Where veteran players a lot of times are like,
no.
This is fucking stupid. Like, why are we doing this? It is different. And I'm glad you pointed it out because, like, I get here, and yeah, I talk a lot. Channing talked a lot. All my guys in Cleveland. It was like a club. It was a party.
Yeah.
We all got along. We spent way too much time together. Like, we were the opposite end of the spectrum. We were the opposite end of the spectrum where there'd be like texts of like, hey, we're going to dinner here. There, like you would get criticized if you didn't go to dinner. Like, man, good to see you. Where you didn't want to come to dinner last night? It's like, dude, I can't go to 3-hour dinners every night, man.
And
even shoot around. Like we would have like the workout session before, but there would be music in the training room or music in the weight room,
everywhere.
Yeah. And so you get here and it's like everyone's really quiet.
Yeah.
And I'm losing my shit.
When you had post game the other day and you talked about, you said it's not on the staff, but it's, you know, the players need to speak up a little bit more. Yeah. do you feel that that's something that's just across the board with this team? Or just
it's just in general, it's a more quiet team, more reserved probably. But, it is a different feel. And to that point, like, even the interactions with the support staff. And, like, I know, like, with our team, my rookie year, everybody was free game to be made fun of.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If it didn't matter if you were, you know, the G League DM. It didn't matter if you were, you know, the ball boy. Like, they were going to everybody all the time. Don't show up with a bad haircut. Don't forget to do it. Like, they're, you know, I'm sitting behind our masseuse, like, 20 rows up on the bus. And Paul Pierce yells ahead to me. He's like, hey, Mace. He's like, they called our masseuse Hands. And he had just gotten, like, the Amish, like, you know, put the ball on the head, cut around.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
Yeah, so Paul, in front of the whole bus, he's like, hey, Mace. He's like, why don't you help Hands fade that in?
Oh.
and Hands is, like, the nicest guy in the world. But it just, you know, they made everybody feel a part of the group, yeah. Even though we were like the bad news bears. We were terrible.
You guys were awful.
We were terrible. Until about Christmas when we turned it around.
Well, yeah, typically older players take a little bit longer to
We took a lot longer.
Ease into the season. We both got drafted by the Nets. You got drafted by the Nets, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we both got drafted by Nets. We both had Tim Walsh. Timmy Walsh. I love Tim Walsh, right? So he was the athletic trainer for the Nets for many years. Gary Sussman. Do you remember Gary? Sus fucking hated me. Oh, he hated me. I had made his life.
Why did he hate you so much?
Because I was just a kid, and then once I figured out I could get under his skin, I just kept doing it. So, like, he was really easy to get under Gary Sussman's skin. So it was like I would, like, he would be sitting there talking to people, and then I would go, and not a wedgie, but, like, you know, guys have, like, their suits on. And so I would go behind him, and I would grab, like, underneath his coat, I would grab, like, his shirt that was tucked in and pull it all the way out, right? And I would do this, like, once a week, and he would try and cuss me out. Like, God damn it, Rich, I gotta fucking work around here. It's like, oh, my bad, Gary. You know what? You're right. I shouldn't have done it. But it was just, like, one of the things that I try and, like, joke around with the guys a lot. It's like, guys, we play a game. Yeah, it's okay to laugh and joke and have fun. And I think that's one of the things. And I think Coach does a good job. You know, from what I've seen and been around him, he does a good job of making guys, hey, guys, it's going to be okay. We're having fun.
Yeah,
like, make sure you go out there and have fun. Yeah. He doesn't go crazy. He, you know, he does what normal coaches do. But, yeah, our team is
quiet.
It's so quiet.
How important, though, is a young guy coming into that team? Was it to have kind of necessarily leadership, but the fun and games?
Yeah, no, I benefited from it. I'll tell you, I had a bevy of chores. Like, I had, like, the thing is, like, we talked about Malik.
Tell us some of your rookie shit.
Malik has no idea.
He had no idea.
Do any of the guys on this team have anything that you have them do?
No, nothing. I don't have them do anything. I've never asked anybody to do anything.
I don't think there is anything,
I mean, to me, it wasn't just the chores. Then it was, like, the things you had to do if you didn't do your chores. I remember, like, going down to training camp my second year. Here I was, you know. After a year, you feel like
you're not going to drink that. So
done with the rookie.
Keep going with your
done with the rookie chores. But, like, we forgot, like, the bicycle cards. Like, every flight needs a fresh pack of bicycle cards.
Yeah.
They can't have been touched. They want the cellophane on them.
They want all that.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I brought some used bicycle car. I don't know. Maybe I forgot them. Whatever. But it was everybody. Or no, you know what? This is what it was. The new rookie forgot the cards, but. I was in my second year, so I was like, oh, that sucks. I was like, they're probably going to yell at you. They'll get in your face, but it's no big deal. Well, it was my fault that I didn't hold them accountable for bringing the cards in my second year. So all of a sudden, like, all the young guys, it's like me, Jerome, Jordan, Corey Jefferson, Markel Brown, we have to go out on the tarmac while they're getting the plane ready, and we're running through the offense on the tarmac. So, we're running through plays, and all of a sudden you hear, like, fist down from the plane. Like, they just watched it.
That's a good one.
We're out there looking like idiots.
Yeah, but that's the thing, and I think at times can be lost in this league, is when you have these veterans, right? Uh-huh. These veterans should run the league, right? Like, that you have Hall of Famers. And I was very fortunate. Again, like I said, I had Jason Kidd, Lucius Harris, Kenny Martin. Like, I had Aaron Williams. I had, like, real, real vets.
Good guys.
And so, great guys. Yeah. But it was also, they took care of you. They put you to work, right? But you enjoyed it. And I think that's some things that are lost, because this is the way I see it with the one and done. You go to school for 1 year, right? You go to school for 1 year, and you're the best player on campus. So you're the best player in your high school. You're the best player, you know, even a guy like Malik. So yeah. Malik was, he's McDonald's All-American, shows up at Florida State, right? Plays 1 year, averages X 20 points a game.
Yeah.
Doesn't go to the NCAA tournament, right? Probably had a good team, but then he shows up here and he expects that things should continue to be on that linear path up. And it's like, no, this shit is hard work.
Right.
It's like there's going to be guys that don't want to see you succeed. How are you going to handle that? So, you know, the adversity sometimes that you get with vets and you can watch them is something that is so valuable that I think a lot of times when you have these rebuilding teams or these teams that are kind of...
Well, that's why it was criminal. Like, I remember, you know, KG going off on somebody from the front office of the Sixers. He's like, it's criminal. This is back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Where they didn't have one veteran in the locker room.
Yeah.
They didn't have... Now, I think when... I don't know. They brought it
like Elton Brand. Yeah, yeah.
But even, you know, whether Elton Brand either plays a minute or not, like his value is such that you have to have somebody like that around the team.
Yeah, to reinforce what the coach says, to show a work ethic. If you
kind of a sounding board, because you don't, as a player, you can't always go to the coaches with everything. They got a lot to do, but you need to be able to talk to another player.
And that was to your point of the post-game locker room interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How do you think, though, that you guys would incorporate that on the Nuggets? Like, what do you think are the steps are? Because we talk about it a lot, the team getting more vocal, and it seems like it is, but... As it keeps going.
But I think we have guys. Like, I think, you know.
No, we definitely do. I was just saying in that moment.
But I think just the overall thing in the league is that you can't, it doesn't matter how young your team is, you need veterans. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just basketball. Like, a coach can tell a guy how to play basketball, but there's also a life in this league that you have to learn. This is not a normal lifestyle. Right? And coaches can't teach you about the lifestyle. And I'm not talking about the cars, like, I'm not talking about the clothes, I'm not talking about any of that, but just how to handle it, how to stay on a schedule, how to talk to your family if things are going one way, how to handle things that come with this lifestyle that only a guy that's been a veteran in this league for 10, 15, 12 years can help you with.
Yeah, and those conversations, I mean, the ones that keep you sane, those are as valuable as any, you know,
basketball.
Skill work.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to Richard's point, talking about the family stuff, like, you got to think about guys all of a sudden are making, you know, 20 times more than their parents ever made. Like, all of a sudden, you're at the head of the table. Like, I'll never forget, like, one of the best, he's like, he put his hand out like a table. He's like, now you're at the head of the table. He's like, you got to start telling people no and otherwise. And that stuff, like, you know, two rookies aren't going to tell each other that stuff.
Right.
But
how much do you think on the back end, though, that the rookies have to be receptive of that stuff as well?
Well, back I say when I first came in, if you weren't receptive, you were going to have a lot of problems. And you're going to see these things happen the more you allow the young players to just dominate the team.
Yeah.
You got to have a veteran that can step in, that can play, that they respect. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I was joking with Malik. Like, Malik was 3 years old when I came into this league. Malik grew up watching me play. You grew up watching KG. Mm-hmm. So anything that KG said, you were like, well, he obviously knows, right? And so you watch and you learn from his work ethic, and, you know, it's just crazy. I think the more the league grows, the better the league gets, the more we need to continue having veterans around young players. It doesn't matter if you're in rebuilding. It doesn't matter if you're going for the lottery. It doesn't matter any of these things. You still need to have a 10-plus year vet in that locker room that is respected. Like what Derek Fisher did, Kurt Thomas did, Nazi Muhammad. These are guys that people are like, how are they still playing? Richard Jefferson's one of those guys. People are just like, how is he still playing? It's like, well, there's a value that's not just on the court, but also off the court.
Point with what they do with family, those talks that you have, those meaningful talks. I never took that into account as much, because they always talk about vets, obviously, in the locker room. But those things, especially when your entire life's changing.
Yeah.
Fucking shit sucks.
And
sometimes.
I came in at 20. I was 22 years old, too. I can't imagine, like, 18, 19.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. There's guys that aren't even old enough to drink. But enough of that shit. Who cares about basketball? you came in here and you sent me an article and you're like, can we talk about this, right? Like,
have you seen his website?
No, you have a website?
He has a website. I'll pull it up. We
please,
have a blog.
Please pull up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You're a blogger, huh?
We'll stream your podcast so you get some views.
Please, I need one or two, man. Literally, like.
And then we have to talk about art. We have so much to talk about.
We have so much to talk about.
Let's get to it.
So Mason sends me this article. It's like, can we talk about this? And apparently there was a little bit of an internet hoax going on. About a Japanese restaurant, and it was not a hoax. I want you guys to go research this. This is really true. We thought it was a hoax, but then we started doing our research and found out that it is true. There is a restaurant in Japan that is now serving what?
Human flesh.
Human flesh.
Seriously?
Yes. There is a human flesh. They are now
cannibalism cuisine.
Yes. It is amazing. This
what
is what
was
saying.
The name of it, brother?
Gosh, what is it?
Where do you even find something like this?
Well, when this stuff breaks out into news,
you gotta be ready.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I'm gonna read the Japanese name.
Please.
From the article. The risotto ototo no shoku raun, edible brother.
Edible brother. That's what it's called.
Edible brother.
That's amazing. So, I want to know who's going to be the first person to try it. And, like, I just want to know, like, how does this work? Like, what do you...
How do you even get to be okay to do something like that?
Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, definitely Wilson. Well, I'm just saying, it's like, people donate their bodies to science all the time. If you wanted to donate your body to
cuisine... They probably have a designation on your driver's license.
Yeah.
For the restaurant.
Maybe they donated their body... Maybe they were donating their body to the many-faced gods.
Me and Richard were asking, like, how do... You know, everything now is, like, grass-fed or cage-free. Yeah. Like,
I would only...
To be honest, I'm a big advocate of all that.
Are you really? Because I would only eat vegetarians also. they would be
have eaten me in a span of
time. Wait, are you a vegetarian?
I have been for a while.
That's bullshit. Wait, so are you really?
I mean, not right now. I haven't been, but
what do you mean not right now?
Soon as I found out I was celiac, I couldn't be anymore. But all of this summer,
So, all right, that's way more, like, these diets are way crazier than not drinking. Let me just say that since you guys gave me...
No, that's not true. I'd rather drink with a celiac. I'd rather drink with a vegetarian than to not drink with a meat eater.
What about, have you heard, those the new one I heard
would
of
you rather? That's a good one.
Batharians.
Yeah. What the hell is a Batharian?
They believe that they live off the air.
I watched
this whole, it was like a 30-minute episode on Breatharians.
The fact that you and spent 30 minutes of your life watching this shit.
A lot of time in hotel rooms. Yeah, you know,
that's fair.
League life.
Yeah.
So you get to the end of it, it's like probably 5 minutes left in the documentary, and they're like, you know, sometimes they sneak like a nut or a slice of apple. And I'm like, well, then they're living off the air, because the whole premise of the diet is to believe that you receive energy from the air.
Would that be almost considered anorexia? Essentially what they're
doing. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know the other thing
the
I always think
of? The art
of
living without food. That's fucking stupid.
Okay, well, the art of living without alcohol.
That's even worse.
Hey, how about when he gives the eulogy at the...
Tell us about the Yugoogly. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, Zoolander's one of my... Allie's never seen that movie. Not you, but Cleveland Allie. Allie number one. She's never seen that movie.
Yeah.
She's never seen any fucking movie, but you'll meet Allie in time. But, okay, so let's get to your blog.
Okay.
Tell me about your blog.
Yeah, it's right here.
It's fun, man. My buddy encouraged me to do it. He actually runs the site, but we only have like three sections. There's like updates, like what I'm up to, but then there's also an inspiration section where we highlight like creatives, artists, people doing dope stuff.
We did a little segment where we were talking. I come into it. We were going to a museum, and I had done my research on the artist, and I started off. And then Mason gives like a 3-paragraph dialogue on this artist and just knew so much about – he knows so much about art. It's unbelievable.
I know, but that's that Duke shit that no one cares about.
What?
I'm just kidding. I just have to throw a shot at Duke
anytime I can. I thought that was Which pretty one? Cool. The one where you're trying to find out?
Oh, yeah. So I actually just bought a house. I never bought a home before. And one of the – in the negotiation, they're like, oh, you can have all the art that's in the house. So I was like, you know, that's not going to move the needle for me. But there was a lot in there. So I was like, all right, I'll take a chance. So there are like 150 pieces of artwork in this home. So I had the art curators come by, and they're –
inventorying everything, and they sent me a list. It was like 4 pages worth of articles, and I read the name Willem de Kooning, and I'm like, that sounds familiar. Like, I don't know that art period very well, but I Google each of the artists. I'm like, okay, well, if this is real, maybe I have, you know, something special here. So I'm waiting to hear back. I don't think it will be, but when me and Allie went to the Clifford Still Museum, they had a de Kooning in the place, and so I asked the lady who was giving us the tour. I was like, if it really is something, what do I have? And she's like, well, you could retire. So we got our fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. Yeah. Have you always been into art?
Not really. When I put in, you know how New York is, like just going by studios, galleries, like just got into it a little bit.
How long were you in New York?
2 years.
2 years, yeah. How were those 2 years?
Great. Amazing.
It's the best city in the world, right?
And I keep going, you know, now that I'm not there in season, I spend my summers there. So I go back in the off season.
Where do you, do you have a place there still?
No, I just rented the last 2 summers.
Where'd you rent?
I stayed at Hudson Yard.
Okay. Wait, where's Hudson Yard?
It's like, no, it's on the West Side Highway.
Okay.
Like 30th and 11th.
What's your favorite thing about New York? Is it just the culture of it?
Yeah,
the
I women. Think.
That, the culture, I mean, the women,
the alcohol.
Honestly,
the
alcohol. Like,
not the alcohol.
Yeah, the alcohol. It's like the epicenter of talent, right? So, like, if you go to the comedy club, the best comedians. Yeah. If you go to, you know, a show, it's going to be the best performers. Like, that, and then also the restaurant scene, like, just everything. You know, the city stays alive, like, 24/7. You can't be bored. You can't not find something to do.
Is that when you started the rap video thing as well?
Yeah, like, for example,
wait,
I know.
Wait, what? What? please, someone pull this up.
Okay. It was actually
everybody knows about the rap
video. I don't know about the rap video. I'm not cool.
I think, you know what, when it came out, expectations were so low. Most of the media feedback was like, wow, we were pleasantly surprised at how well he delivered.
Play.
No, I'm not pushing play. I refuse to give that another play until I can actually really spend a lot of time.
So that's a New York story though, because so my buddy, he's a white rapper from Greenwich, Connecticut.
He can't just be a rapper. Why does he have to be a white?
Because
rapper?
I gotta paint the picture because we're on microphone.
Okay.
So I'm going. We're about to go grab some Hillstone.
Obviously, like, that's what white rappers do.
Yeah.
They're from Greenwich, Connecticut. He's like, Hillstone.
Hey, he's like, hey, come by the studio real quick. I had never been by a studio. This is just a New York afternoon. He's like, come by the studio real quick. He's like, it's a lot of good people recording in here. And so I went by, and he's rapping, and he's like, why don't you hop in the booth and try something? So I was like, all right. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we have a song. Next week, we're making a music video. And then 2 weeks later, everybody's laughing at me. So it's all good. Plum Dog Millionaire.
Plum Dog Millionaire? Is that where that came from?
Yeah.
I know that name from you, but I did not know about the music video.
Yeah,
it's do we feel like aliens. We have a career post?
I don't know. No one, you know what? No one's hit me up for another feature, so I'm a little confidence is low. But
you know what?
Maybe it's like one of those things if you keep at it.
No. I've never heard you rap. I've never seen this video. And I'm gonna tell you, you should continue rolling to the best really hard and jumping really, really high. What else? So what else is going on? Hey, so again, you know about this. It's really not that there's really not too much to it. We just sit and talk and bullshit. Yeah. So you know,
I'm going to plug some things.
That's what I'm saying. I want to hear about the plugs.
So, who brought up the bands? You brought up the bands.
I know. Wait, did you bring it? I think Allie brought up the bands. But I had one. I told you I needed another one.
Okay. Oh, actually, the bands, I brought those up.
Yeah.
So, Coach Malone, I got to show you the new designs.
So
this is big news.
I need one.
Breaking on the podcast.
Please tell me.
I'm going to get you. So, what did... Oh, you weren't with Coach. You weren't with us in training camp.
No, I was
not. So we were talking about all the protests, and Coach Malone was supportive. He was like, "Hey, you know what? Whatever you guys want to do, we support."
Is this a sexual harassment protest?
No, the flag.
Okay,
the flag with all the, you know, the NFL stuff, and
it's not the flag. It was the anthem.
The anthem.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Just want to get it straight.
All right. Well, whatever. So, I just saw opportunity. I wasn't really paying attention to.
To what it was about.
To what it was about. So,
and I didn't plug in here.
So no, but honestly, Coach Malone made a good point. Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, I would ask the guys in the NFL, like, you know, it's great that you make a stand on Sunday, but what are you doing the other 6 days of the week? He's like, I challenge you guys the same way to be involved in the community, and he's like, make a difference. Don't just because you got the TV on, you you know, make a stand. And so, you know, that inspired me and a buddy to come up with these equality bands.
Yeah. Who's the buddy?
So is my buddy in New York. And he's from Ethiopia, but a good dude. And we're just always doing fun stuff. So we came up with these.
Why are you laughing? I've seen the band. You showed me the band. I had one. I broke it.
But you haven't seen the new ones.
The new ones.
Yeah, so that's the new ones. And
no, I like it. Yeah. I really do. Like
sends,
I told you.
Sends a good message, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It does.
So send did a really he good... come up with this, or did you?
So I kind of thought it, and then he made it happen.
Yeah.
But we still don't have a name. But the name we do like is, if you've seen Semi-Pro,
yeah,
they have one team rule. It's ELE. Everybody love everybody.
Everybody, we have one team rule.
We have one team rule.
Well, that's I think that's great. Yeah, that's really anytime cool. We can incorporate Jackie Moon into something, I'm all about it. No.
That's the gym I really want to play for someday.
That's the team you were. Jackie Moon. Jackie Moon's amazing. What do you think about the protests? And you can give your opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it's warranted. Like, it definitely has served its purpose. It brought attention to a lot of inequality. It brought attention to something that needed attention brought to it, right?
Yeah.
You know, to the point of the NFL and the NBA, I do think the point has been made, and now it's more of an actionable thing. Like,
yeah. What can we do now?
What can we do? Yeah. So I think the attention is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And now let's take that momentum and support it somehow.
Yeah.
Let's,
you're pretty close with some NFL guys, though, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever have those talks with them while that was all going on?
Not so much. I think, you know, they were all supportive of each other. Like locker rooms are tight. Like, if a guy feels strongly about something, you know, we're gonna support that and vice versa. But you know, I thought it got interesting when you started having coaches, you know, like require all the guys to do something. Like in the Steelers case, like I don't think you should never force anybody to do something they're not comfortable with, and it didn't work, obviously. But
it became more divisive, right? When you started requiring people to do stuff, and yes, we understand it is not popular. You know, amongst everybody, and it's like, oh well, these guys are at work and they're getting paid millions, and it's like, yes, but they're being paid millions by billionaires, right? So it's like, yeah, there was a lot of money involved. And again, there was always so much conversation, and even, you know, Colin, you know, what his original message was has been, you know, put here and put there, and I don't know, as athletes, and, you know, this is not a political podcast by any means. We basically do, like, fart jokes and ball like ball-grabbing jokes. And that's not it, but we are athletes, and people have asked us about it. And, you know, we were the last basketball team when we won the championship to go see the White House. And we went to go see Barack Obama. He was amazing. And now there's all this conversation now about, well, are they going to go see Donald Trump? And
I think Golden State's that they
Golden were State's not. Team. Yeah, that's where Bron called the president a bum. He's like, listen, you bum, right? And I just saw the article, and it was the most retweeted post by an athlete. When Bron called Donald Trump a bum.
So I have a question, because you're close with LeBron. How do you feel about, I mean, what comes with our profession is the platform.
Yeah.
And him having one of the biggest ever.
Yeah.
Right?
That I would say versus the biggest.
The biggest ever. That versus, and I'm a Michael Jordan fan, but people have been critical about him not using his platform until recently to have a voice on other issues.
Yeah, but you bring up the exact same point, and Iman Shumpert said something, right, where it doesn't matter. People will never be happy. Mm. People criticized Michael for years for not speaking out, and people were dying over his shoes. And you know, he made a statement: Republicans buy shoes too, right? Like, in the sense that, like, look, he was just staying out of it. Like, he was a businessman, right? And so people criticized him for not being vocal. Mm-hmm. And then people criticized Bron for being too vocal, or Colin Kaepernick for being too vocal. Yeah. And then it's just like, well, which one do you want? And Iman Shumpert brought up one of the best points that I've heard, which blows my mind, that Shump, that Shump, who me and him have had many a battles in the locker room, brought up. Me and him have argued about so many things, and, you know, I love the dude to death. he's fucking nuts. He thinks I'm crazy. But his point was this. He was like, the minute when you're coming up through high school, right, and you're playing basketball, and everyone says you got to have a backup plan. You got to have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. Don't just focus on basketball. Don't just focus on this, right? Like, right. How many times do you hear that?
100 times.
100 times. You heard it 100 times.
He's got about 17 backup plans.
17 backup plans. But the minute you get to the NBA, what's the first thing that they try and tell you? Well, why don't you just stop doing that and just focus on basketball?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, wait a second. It's like all of a sudden
now we don't have class and we have all the downtime in the world.
Yeah, it's like wait a second. On my way up here, you told me to have backup plans. You told me to have something else that I should follow. You told me to have something else that I should believe in and be passionate about.
I had a coach tell me, he was like, you can't be good if you have outs. Anybody that has a plan B.
Oh my God.
They're cheating on themselves.
100%, right? And then the minute you get here, and you want to start doing something else, the first thing people do is tell you, well, you should just focus on basketball. Shouldn't you be shooting jumpers? Shouldn't you be worried about something else? Why don't you worry about this?
You know who? I watch Dame get criticized all the time because he's talented as a musician. And by the way, he's like one of the best guards in the league.
Since the day he walked in this league.
Yeah, and nothing like so much. I don't know if he just retweets the criticism or what, but like people were like, why don't you, you know, he shoot 90% from the free throw line. I can't imagine if I kept rapping and people have something to say about my free throws. Like,
but that's what's so crazy. And I think Bron does a good job. And Bron's not perfect. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. But like the dude just
what I was gonna say. I applaud him for using his platform. A lot of people would not stay silent, or like you said, he has a lot of businesses.
So then do you guys both think that you guys as athletes should be using that platform?
Well, I think it's a different time. Yeah, it's a different time than it was. I think we went through a time where there was that iconic picture with Jim Brown, Bill Russell, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Muhammad Ali. There was just that iconic picture of all of them together. But, you know, and they were activists because there was so much to be, so much to be, you know, there was so much to fight for because they were fighting for racial equality, right? There was a lot of things going on in that time period. And now then there was that period where all the things that they had kind of fought for were coming to fruition. Yeah. You saw that in the 80s and the 90s, Michael Jordan being the number one endorsed athlete of all time and building a brand. And you're like, oh, wow, things are getting better. And then all of a sudden, things start to, I won't say started to slow down, but things started to kind of happen. You know, you started to see, you know, with social media and more.
More phones and
all this stuff. And it was like, oh, well, this person shouldn't do this. And the next thing you know, it's like, well, you have video of it. And then you start to now say, like, oh, well, things are still, you know, going the same way. And all of a sudden, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he stood up. He wasn't going against the police. He's not going against the flag. He's not going. He did this in a moment at the national anthem to protest. Very similar how, you know, during the national anthem in the Olympics where guys raised, you know, fists with black gloves on them. They were just trying to raise awareness, right? Now, that was after winning, you know, medals in the Olympics. Yeah. But this was every week on a Sunday during America's most popular sport.
Yeah.
And it's still crazy that ESPN wants to – they literally have a segment on ESPN.com, the players that protested in Week 17. It's like a fantasy league the way they've you know, put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just I don't know. I think that you have to use this platform, right, the Me Too platform, right, getting rid of the sexual assault and getting rid of the predators. I think that's huge. That's huge that people are now using the platform and their social media to get rid of people that have done wrong. Now, the first thing that I will say is that 90% of actors, 90% of producers, 95%, I'm just making this up, are all probably great people, right? But let's weed out the bad ones. Let's get the fucking assholes out. Let's make it a safe place for women. Let's make it a safe place for people to go in and work.
Yep.
Fair, right? Mm-hmm. That's the Me Too movement. It's like, hey, this has been going on for 30, 40, 50 years. Let's get these assholes out so the work environment can be safe. 99% of police officers are good people. But if we can raise awareness to get some of the bad apples out, then I think athletes should. And I'm not saying that there's a direct correlation between – well, actually, I am saying there's a direct correlation between the Me Too movement and the awareness that Colin Kaepernick has raised. It's like there are incidences of police brutality that probably should be addressed, very similar to how there are incidences of sexual harassment that need to be addressed and getting out. And I think that's where I think people can get confused and not fully understand that this was just to bring it to everyone's attention and let's get some of the bad apples out, however few there are. If one in 100, then let's get the one out,
right?
And that's something that I think like LeBron and all and Colin Kaepernick, all of these guys, you know, should be very, very proud of what they've kind of brought to you know, the forefront.
I think the hardest part with all that, though, is to your point, you brought up social media and how much that's changing everything, that the message continues to get misinterpreted, possibly, right? Yeah. You can control the message to a certain point, but then there's going to be people that interpret it differently, and then that becomes a spiral effect. And that, not necessarily an issue, but that's something that, from your guys' platform, is really hard because you really can't project how this is going to play out, you know?
No doubt.
Yeah, well, that's why we have these bracelets that Mason made. That's why we have these bracelets, and we're gonna show them on our social media. And I think it's really, really cool. You gave me one, and I wore it. I think it's a simple message, right? Where everyone loves everyone. Jackie Moon. That's the number one rule. That's the number one rule. Everyone loves everyone, and you know we lock arms. You know, during the national anthem, that's kind of our show of togetherness. And you know,
do you guys like that? Just putting you on the spot there, the stance of that, locking arms.
Yeah, well, I think
Jamal Murray always wants to hold hands, which I think is weird, which I think is super strange. So if you guys want to tweet tweet at Jamal Murray and ask him why he wants to hold mine and Mason's hands during the national anthem, I don't know. Maybe it's because he's Canadian and he doesn't fully understand our anthem, but yeah, he just wants to hold hands.
He wants to feel very supported.
Yeah, I find that to be a bit strange, but you know, it's whatever he's into, man. I think that's just the European Canadian in them.
The European. <Yeah.
laughs> I like it. I like it. I think it's something that, you know.
I've always said, like, you know, you turn on the news and you see everybody fighting over race and everything. If you were to just shadow an NBA locker room, I've only been in, you know, three different teams, but the way we have people from all over the world on our teams and we get along fine. So, like, it almost feels.
Especially this team.
Especially, yeah. So, when you see the stuff on the news, it almost doesn't feel real.
It doesn't.
Like, that's so silly that it seems like the Dr. Seuss book with the one star, two stars. Like, we don't mess with them because they got two stars and you got one. Like, that's how childish it is.
She's smiling.
Everything you need to learn, you can learn from Dr. Seuss books.
But it is. It doesn't seem real because that's what I think was so impactful of what Colin Kaepernick did was that sports has always brought people together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that sport has really divided people, probably since, you know, Jackie Robinson. This is the first time since what Jackie Robinson did where people were starting to be divided, right? There were people that were believing that, you know, blacks shouldn't be allowed to play and people thought that they should and blah, blah, blah. So, like, that was a time where sports divided people. Muhammad Ali, when he protested and said he wasn't going to go to the Vietnam War, and that kind of divided people, right? And it's very rare that sports can divide people. But this was a situation where Colin, you know, kind of divided people. People are on both sides, and people are very passionate about both sides.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point, it's like, yo, you get into our locker room, and you got Europeans. You have, you know, African-Americans. Russians. Yeah, really. But you, like, I just want to tell the American sports fans something this. What are you smiling about?
Nothing. I'm just getting ready.
I want to tell American sports something that spans about this. You think that black people and white people and, like, we have our issues? You should put a Serbian and a Croatian on the court together and in a locker room together. And I'll never forget this. I played with Nenad Krstić and I played with Zoran Planinic, both of the former Yugoslavia. Nenad was Serbian and Zoran was Croatian. And he was like, oh yes, my father, his father, they try and kill each other, right? Like, and this was like when they were growing up. This was during, you know, the genocide that happened during the war in Yugoslavia when it broke up. Like Vlade Divac and Peja Stojaković and God, what's his name?
I remember we had Mirza Teletovic on in Brooklyn. He was saying he just remembers like bombs going off and you know, ducking in like shelters and stuff.
Yeah, so it's like when we hear the when I hear these stories and we talk about police brutality and we talk about our squabbles between, you know, different races and political parties, and you're like, there are guys in this league that remember like full on like wars, right? Like father fighting against father, and now here they are.
Nikola.
That's what I'm saying. Nikola is Serbian, right? I believe he's Serbian. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but you have these guys, and I used to sit there and listen to these guys tell stories, right? And Zoran used to be like, oh, he thinks he's tough. Where I'm from, oh, I'd kill him, right? Yeah. And it's like wow. And it's just to hear that, like, everyone has a story to tell, and that's why sports always brings people together, because it's like wherever our story is, there's typically stories that are probably far worse in other places. So, and that's why, like, you know, the Serbians, the Croatians, the Bosnians, they would come over here and they would play together, right? But then when their countries would play against each other, oh, they wouldn't play the national anthems, right? For like when Bosnia, when Croatia would play against Serbia, because it was so intense. And so we aren't at that spot,
right?
But we need to also understand that, like, sports can be used in so many different facets, you know, to bring each other together. And if people allow it, it could be used to kind of pull each other apart. Yeah. You know, so it's not a first time, but this would have been such a better conversation if Mason was drinking.
Yeah, way too serious. What's the next topic?
I have one for you. What? Because we've talked about your art, the blog, all these things that you do. What would you want to do after Hoops is done? Do you have any
ideas? He's fucking 12 years old.
I know. Like, I'm just talking about. But I mean, have you met anybody that does all of this kind of stuff?
You know what's
outside
funny.
Of Hoops?
I love
starting that. Bracelets and the art and the blogs.
I just want to.
Shop. Shout out to Shop, man. I hope your knee gets better soon. Maybe it was all those ones you've been playing, brother. No, keep going.
I'm kind of aligned with you. I know we were talking after the Sacramento game.
What?
Want to hit this billion-dollar business for all it's worth. Yeah, stay in basketball.
Yeah, stay in basketball for a long time. Milk it for all it's worth.
No, but, we were talking, if I were to stay around the game, like, I would enjoy, like, a front office position. Okay. I would enjoy, you know, something where you're putting a team together. I'm not sure I would want to coach, but you know, I do love basketball. It's been my passion.
Sucks.
Yeah, coaching, dealing with, like, so the last couple teams I've been on, I could see being a coach, but that first, that rookie experience, I was like, never will I ever.
No.
I remember, like, I think he would tell you this too if you were here, but JK was so funny because the expectation, we had the highest payroll in league history that year.
History.
Like, the expectations were so high, and we started off so bad. And, like, I'm the happiest kid in the world because I'm on this great, like
well,
a lot
great
of
guys,
lot
yeah.
of lot of personalities, lot of
well,
history.
Your first taste of
and
it
I remember I'm getting food with Jay Kidd after the game, and it was like me, Paul, and him. We were all at the buffet line, and, like, I'm so excited to be playing for Jason Kidd and whatever. And he looks at Paul. They just look and they shake their heads, and Jay's like, "You can have this shit, P. I'm done with this shit." just because we is, oh man. But, like, it also taught, that first season taught me how long a season is. And here it was, like, you know, they're fire Jay Kidd, the whole stand's yelling all of, like, November, December, and then January, February is coach of the month two months in a row, and all of a sudden we're rolling. And, It just taught me how quick things can turn.
Yeah, no, this basketball shit it's terrible. But yeah, steal from it as long as you can. Right? People keep telling me to retire, and I'm like, dude, I want to retire. I've been trying to retire for years. If they would just let me go away, it's just so sad. But so all of you funny people out there that want to kind of. So we have two things, Mason. I'll inform you. We have Team Channing and Team Richard. You are officially a part of Team Richard. But everybody's been like, oh, Team Channing's winning. I taught him everything he knows.
How do you win?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the...
There is no win. It's just a competition. It's just me and him kind of cracking jokes, right? Yeah. Because, like, you know, so he had D-Wade on his podcast. He had Kevin Love on his podcast. Those are his fucking teammates. It's not special. He didn't go out of his way to get any of these guys. And all he did was talk about how he doesn't shut up, right? So I don't want to hear you guys post, oh, I'm so Team Channing. I'm so, yeah, yeah, whatever, kiss my ass. I don't care what team you guys are on. Actually,
we're like 300 over here.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
Strength, we don't need numbers.
Yeah, yeah, we're straight. Yeah,
quality over quantity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. It's like everyone love everyone. That's what Mason keeps talking about. So, yeah, yeah, I just, I've seen on social media, I will say I was in Denver. We were playing one of our games just recently, and I said, hey, RJ. I'm like, oh, shit. I kind of, like, look over, Team Richard. And I was like, yeah,
yes.
Fuck with that. Yeah, the first motherfucker that says Team Channing's getting thrown out of the arena if they see me. But, the Team Richard, Team Channing thing is because the dynamic duo got broken up because they don't care about us. they got broken up. So Channing continued the podcast in Cleveland. And so he's doing it with all the guys out there. And so I'm doing it here. Obviously, our team, Jamal, was on here. He was really, really funny. So we just kind of started a Richard versus Channing. It's Road Tripping Richard versus Channing. So, yeah, there's been a lot of talk of the Team Richard versus Team Channing. So we got to continue this whole – it's not a competition, but more of
But it is.
It's a competition.
Yeah.
It's a competition. But it's a friendly competition between someone who I taught everything about. I taught him everything about this. I taught him how to do it. But, you know, whatever. Who cares? We'll figure this out.
It's friendly when you know how it ends.
Yeah, it's always friendly when you know how it ends. By the way, I've been watching fucking Game of Thrones, and all of you people that think Game of Thrones is amazing, it's the most fucking overrated show I've ever seen. Is anybody else? Wait, overrated or you like it?
Completely agree.
Completely overrated? Thank you. Jeez.
I did, like, the episodes are so long, I always fall asleep, like, half an hour into them.
Yeah.
It's like watching a movie. Each show is like a movie.
It's too long. Well, yeah, it's the most expensive show ever made in history because every show is like a movie. Are you a Game of Thrones person?
No, I did Stranger Things, though, and I loved that.
Stranger Things.
Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Based in Indiana.
Oh, God. Shout out. Oh, he gave a shout out. Mason Blomley with a shout out. That's awesome. No, I have not seen Stranger Things yet.
It's worth it.
It's really good.
Yeah, so I've been watching Game of Thrones. My wife.
I watched until the guy cut off his nipple and handed it to Khaleesi, and then I was like, "All right, that's."
You're know like, what I'm and I'm done. About? I haven't watched guys? It, but now I don't know if I want to.
That's a little too much S&M for me, right?
I me feel too. Like, that's why I stopped watching.
There has to be a point, but I'm just trying to figure out. Like, it's. I'll say this: there's two parts that I would say. We travel a lot, so we watch a lot of shows, blah, blah. There's two parts in it that I was like, didn't see that shit coming, right? When the Red Wedding, which I didn't know about the Red Wedding when he was fighting. Again, I'm not spoiler alert, but I didn't know about that. I didn't see that coming, but I had heard it in, like, you hear, like, things through popular, just popular stuff, and it's just, like, it's on show. But you don't, if you're not watching the show, you don't pay attention. And what are you Googling? Don't Google it. Don't Google it. Don't Google it.
No, because I'm thinking you said spoiler alert. I had.
I just said what it was. Anyways, and you won't know about it. And then the next thing was how Hodor got his name. That shit kind of blew my mind. Didn't see that shit coming?
How did he get his name?
I'm not telling you how Hodor got his name. But if you watch it, that's cool. But this is the thing. Don't make me watch 300 hours, right, to find two fucking things.
See, that's what's good about Stranger Things is it's very condensed.
Oh, God.
There's only, like, what, seven episodes per season or something like that?
Condense this shit, right? Like, what the fuck? Short story long, right? Like,
that's the quickest way to get on my just I'll never talk to you again is people who spoil movies or shows. Was the movie where it's, I think it's called Alpha Dog or something, the kid?
Yeah, yeah, Justin Timberlake, one of his finer performances.
Okay, so.
Should have been nominated for an Oscar. Continue.
I was in high school and I was at a boarding school. There were like 200 of us in the dorm. They're only, you know.
You went to a boarding school?
Yeah, you got to get along with everybody. Thank you.
How was that?
What boarding school did you go
to? Wait, just get back on the boarding school topic.
No, hold on. So the kid hands me the... this kid, he had all the DVDs. Like, you needed a movie.
Yeah,
you're going to Per's room. So Per gave me the DVD. He's like, here you go. The kid dies in the end.
Okay. Oh, what the fuck?
That's the whole movie.
The whole movie.
They have this kid in the van the whole movie.
I would have punched him.
Yeah, I did.
Why did you watch the movie? Yeah, did you watch the movie still?
Yeah, because I thought he was kidding, and then I was so mad by the time I got to the end of it.
No. See, I don't mind. I don't mind if you tell me. I don't mind if you tell me what happens. I mind if you want to fucking talk to me while it's going on. That's when
you start fucking talking. Or people start laughing before the joke comes. Or
they'll be like,
watch this.
I'm that
person.
I hate that.
If I'm watching a scary movie, I'll be like, is something going to come out?
When people sing in the car to let you know they know all the words, I hate that.
No, like, see, you can sing. I'm a watch this person. I'm a watch this person. But like, I'm really, really bad at like, so like my wife will be like, we'll turn on the show, right? Oh, let's watch Black-ish. Let's watch Blacklist.
Real Housewives.
What? Fuck no. what's the one with all the tattoos?
Oh.
God. What's the one with all the tattoos? Where the girl's all covered in tattoos?
Oh, Blind Spot.
Blind Spot, right? Let's watch Blind Spot. It'll turn on for 2 minutes, and one of two things will happen. So, how's your day? What the fuck? We're watching the show. How was my day? My day was great as soon as we turned on the show. Like, what do you mean, how was my day? Like, we're not supposed to talk through this. Yeah. Or it's like, so what do you think? Do you think they're going to die? I know as much as you do. I'm not asking your opinion on this.
The director's keeping us both in the dark.
I didn't watch this and then, like, wait to tell you what happened. So, yeah.
When they show, like, the readings. I hate when they put readings on screens because I'm not a fast reader.
Are you that person that watches trailers?
Oh, I can watch trailers, yeah.
Because that usually gives a lot of stuff
Jurassic
away.
Jurassic Park, any of the Jurassic just came out with a new, new world. I love watching trailers.
Because I feel like it gives everything away.
But the hype music for the trailers is so good, it always lets the movie down. Like, the people who pick the music for the trailers gets you so excited.
Yeah.
And that's just me.
Yeah, no.
So we should real quick, though, because we didn't actually even talk on the subject, and I know a little bit about Warsaw because my dad was from Jasper. Okay. You should explain Warsaw, where you grew up, because Warsaw, Indiana, where he grew up.
Stop shouting out that town. We're going to spend 3 days there. I want to shoot myself.
Hey, we were going over our schedule the other day. Richard was so bad.
so bad.
We're in between, D.C. and Philly?
No, we're in Orlando.
Oh my goodness. We're in the training room with like five people and he's explaining how asinine our travel schedule is, because you never spend 3 days in Indiana. I was like, I'm from there, I don't want to be there that long. And then the guy who does the scheduling, Dan, comes in. He's like, Dan, go ahead and explain the schedule real quick. He goes up to him. He's like, so we're going to stay here. We're going to leave Orlando early, spend 3 nights in Indianapolis. Everybody's like, what the?
Yeah, and it's like, yo, even after, like, I'd rather go to Detroit.
Yeah, they're at least, like, reinvigorating.
Yeah, and it's like, so we go, and I just, again,
we're leaving
just,
Disney World.
Yeah, we're leaving Orlando, Florida. Orlando. I don't know if any of you guys have seen Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon is fucking hilarious.
Yes, I love it. Really, I Orlando. Remember that part.
Yeah,
we should go do.
Yeah,
yeah. Book of Mormon.
I'm down to go see Book. Have you seen Book of Mormon?
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
It's done by the guys that did South Park. Yeah. It's really, really good. It kind of makes you a bit uncomfortable, but I love it. Right? But that being said, it's like, who leaves Orlando, Florida to spend an extra night in Indiana? And so Coach was like, oh, well, you know, I wanted to throw Gary a bone because Gary's from Indiana. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about Gary. What about the rest of the team? You want to make him feel good? What about the other 14 guys that have to fucking play with him, right? So, but yeah.
Gary better have about 40.
Oh, he better do something.
We need some more 360 layups.
Yeah, we need something on the road.
That was insane.
I'm just saying, like, good vibes on the road is something that our team definitely needs. And 3 nights in Indiana typically doesn't garnish that with the fucking team. Jeez.
Because you don't go back to Indiana too much anymore, do you?
No,
I don't spend
3 days there in the offseason.
You should hear Warsaw. So Warsaw is like super small town. Like, how big is Warsaw, would you say?
Warsaw, is that really the name? Are you fucking Poland? Is it spelled the same?
It is.
Oh, jeez.
In Kosciuszko County.
Oh, my Kosciuszko. God. Is it anything like from Parks and Rec? Yeah. Is it really like Parks and Rec? I love. Leslie Knope, love her. Love Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is one of my shows. Is it really like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a small town, not a whole lot going on. You know everybody's business.
So how did fucking three behemoths come from there? When I say behemoths, him and his two brothers are all 7 feet tall.
Well,
right?
your sister's an athlete too, isn't she?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Big and strong. So, like, okay, we mentioned Game of Thrones. Do you know those giants that you see in Game of Thrones? That's him and his two brothers, right? But continue.
You know, so we actually left there, so... There, you know, it's a small town. You have to, in Indiana, you have to play for the high school in your district or yeah. your region. And the basketball was just so bad that we ended up going away to boarding school.
Where did you go to school?
North Carolina.
Where did you? Well, what was the school
called? Christ School.
Oh, Christ School.
Yeah.
So, you could have gone like Oak Hill.
All boys school.
Oh, God. All
I know.
Boys.
Tell me about it. I didn't want to go.
Oh, my God.
Did your brothers go too?
Yeah, both my brothers.
The same school?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There was probably a lot of.
You know what's crazy? It sounds funny, but like, as disappointed
as I was. There were probably a lot of hernia checks there. What's there?
Just waiting for a comment.
A lot of hernia checks there. But continue. I'm sorry.
As disappointed as I was at the outset of going to all boys school, it actually made school so much better because, like, the curriculum, like, everything is tailored to guys. I should have visited Arizona.
Yes, you should have. Yes, you should have. Even if it was just
could
for a visit.
Could you just imagine Mason?
Easy. Oh, God. Even if it was just for a visit, would have been the time of your life. Would have been the time of your life. Oh, but
I'll take you to Duke at sometime.
Oh, God. It sounds awful. I will never set foot on that campus. Ever set foot on that campus.
Yeah, you are welcome.
I don't want to go there. But it's just
watch Little Richard's gonna
just
go
like
to
Charles
Duke.
Barkley's not working in San Antonio.
If he wants, if he wants his trust fund, like he's not going to Duke. if he wants his trust, he can go to any school, but there, like there are certain schools that you're going to grow up.
Sour grapes.
Yeah, there's not sour grapes there. I don't feel like sending him to Duke would give him the leg up on life that he should have. I don't feel like it would be giving him the opportunity that I worked so hard to afford for him. I feel like it would be setting him back years.
To go to
yeah, and generations Ivy if he were to go to. It's not Ivy League.
Well, it's up there.
No, it is not up there. Do not let those fuckers fool you. Like, they swear it's Ivy League. You're better off going to Stanford than you are. You're better off going to Cal.
Stanford's another really good one.
Yes, but the Stanford is not Ivy League.
Would you consider Stanford Ivy League?
No.
It's on that level.
There's only
one. I feel like it's harder to get to Stanford than Yale.
I would say there are a couple schools that are on Ivy League level that aren't in the Ivy League because they want to have athletic programs.
Like
Stanford,
there is one, and I do not want to disrespect the Harvards, the Princetons, the Browns. There's one Harvard. Right, there's no Harvard of the South, Harvard of the West. The fact that you have to call yourself something of something, like, right?
Phoenix, the Harvard of online.
Yeah. That is the Harvard of online. University of Phoenix. I did not go there. Right, I went to University of Arizona. But I will say, no. I am not acknowledging. I'm just saying, Duke is a good school. I won't disrespect that. Good schools and great times don't typically go hand in hand. they do not.
The mantra at Duke is work hard, play hard. So we had a lot of fun while we were winning games, while we were getting good grades. And we actually got our own grades, which a lot of schools can't say.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Really?
I can't speak to Arizona. I know. Actually, you know what? I can't speak to Arizona.
Speak to Arizona. Please speak to Arizona. How many Roosevelts are there?
Huh?
How many Roosevelts are there? So we're sitting. You want to talk about that, Duke? How many presidents are there? We had this conversation in the training
room.
But how many Roosevelts are there?
I talked to one of your alumnus, and he told me he went to two classes in his time there.
Are you talking about Jason Terry?
No. Different one.
Channing Frye?
No.
I don't know how many.
He said he went into one to cut the lights off and leave, and then he said, and then he showed up to one that required a final exam.
So at Duke, did you guys get, except Pepperdine, if we would walk into class and we wouldn't sign into something, then they would inform us that we weren't in class?
Well, we had an academic advisor that would like pop into class, and if we weren't in class, yep. like we're in big trouble.
Yep.
But like, which is funny that you guys had to be babysat, right? Because most of the people that were going to academic, better to be babysat
and be there than to not be there at all.
No, or you could just go to school.
Which a lot of colleges, they don't do.
Well, I understand that, but like, my thing about Duke and some of these other academic institutions is that the college experience is about the college experience. And I wanted to go to college to experience all things. I wanted to become an adult, a man. And I don't feel like Duke really prepared you for that. You still don't drink. I will never set foot on that campus.
I'm going to bring Little Richard down to Duke.
He's going to want to go.
Little Richard will not go to Duke.
You want me to keep it real with you?
Please.
Why people go there?
Did you say white people go there? I know lots of white people go to Duke.
They go there for the rings.
That's why.
And I respect that. I respect the basketball program.
Yeah.
I respect that. I respect them as an academic institution. But all the other shit that comes along with this school, so trash. So trash. Yeah, that's just in my humble opinion.
You guys just can come visit Pepperdine.
Now Pepperdine, Pepperdine
is beautiful.
There's nothing bad about Pepperdine. Yeah. There's cool. Nothing.
Oh,
bad.
I'm glad we agree.
There's nothing. Everyone agrees. There's nothing bad about Pepperdine. So, I'm glad we can end this conversation while trashing Duke and talking highly about Pepperdine, an amazing school like yourself. Guys, I just want to say thank you, and thank you to Mason. What's your website? Mason. What's your Instagram? What's your all set?
Everything's Mason Plumley.
God, how much you pay for that? where can we get
the domain names are incredible now. You can get like Dot Ninja.
XYZ. Can you really get a Dot Ninja?
You can get Dot Ninja.
Listen, I'm gonna get a Dot Ninja.
I'm gonna get it
one
first.
One of you fuckers get it before me. I swear to God.
RJ Dot Ninja.
I want Richard.Ninja.com. That's so awesome.
No. That's not how domain.
How's it go?
It's just Richard Dot Ninja.
Richard Dot Ninja.
The Ninja. It substitutes on .com.
You're good.
How's that work?
I don't know. Did you get it?
No,
it's available.
It's not going to... I swear if one of you fuckers try and do that shit. I need to get it. Richard, what is it? Okay, where do we go?
Ninja.
Richard.ninja. Yeah. There's no dot, just Richard.ninja.
No.
So I can make... Can I make that my email address?
Well, then you could have like a Richard@Richard.ninja.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that's too much.
Richard@Richard.ninja. Or can I just go .ninja? That'd be awesome. What is it? Is it
still I see available? What you did there.
You see what I did there? Yeah, I see what I did. Okay, so again, Mason, thank you. Is there anything else that you want to plug?
No, I would just like.
There's like 200 people.
Do people know what you ask for at chapel all the time?
Oh, like no. We need to talk about this. I want to know.
Let's go. me and Richard are avid.
Oh God, avid. This Duke conversation, man, it just keeps going.
We're avid chapel attendees.
Yes.
I like that.
And, you know, when we have prayer requests, Richard tends to ask for the same thing all the time.
What did you say Harrison Barnes did?
so last year we were in chapel in Dallas, and I didn't know Richard at all. But we go around the room, and Harrison asked for humility. And I was just like, oh, that's interesting. Like, whatever. But the way he asked for it is like he really needed it. And then,
Harrison Barnes.
And then we play. And then Richard comes in our first chapel this year. He, like, puts his head down and he, like, thinks to himself for a little bit. He's like, could we just pray for humility for me? And I was like, wow. I was like, I know we have egos around here.
No, so we're going into chapel, right? We're going into chapel. We're walking. We're in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
And so we're walking to chapel. And he goes, hey, Rich, man. So Harrison Barnes asked for humility. So both of you guys can't ask for humility. I'm like, he learned that from me his rookie year. I'm the one that taught him that. And I was like, you asked about why.
It's not. Look, we all need humility. There's no doubt about that. It's just the way that they ask for it is there's a hint of sarcasm. So I'm like, I'm a little miffed whether they really want it or they want people to know that they asked for it, which makes their ego even bigger than it actually is.
That's not what it is. Okay, so look. So my first year with Golden State, right? I'll tell you this. So they have a high number of chapels. Steph, Andre. Harrison, Clay.
That's like, my theory of why they're a good team.
Yeah, half the guys all go to chapel, right? Half the guys all go to chapel. So in the beginning, before we ever made the playoffs, I started asking for humility, right? And they kind of thought it was funny and whatever this. And at the end of the season, right before we played our first playoff game, and I was like, the reason why I ask for humility is because this is my 12th year in the league, and I've seen veterans, right? Because Steph didn't make the All-Star game that year, and D-Lee did.
Yeah.
Right, and that was the year that Steph broke the three-point record. Mm-hmm. And so in there, I was like, hey, guys, this is the reason why I always ask for humility, because we need to be humble. I've seen veterans like myself not playing kind of ruin a team. Mm-hmm. I've seen guys not make an All-Star team, right, ruin a team. I've seen so many – because the guys in contract years, I've seen all of these things ruin a team that should be successful. So I ask for humility all year long, and here we are, a team that people expected to be second or third last in the conference with a second-year head coach in Mark Jackson. Here we are about to go in the playoffs, and we beat Denver, and we ended up going to the second round. And I was like, we can kind of laugh and we can kind of joke, but humility is a real thing in this league. Mm-hmm. It's something that is like something that should never be understated, because I've seen so many things. Guys starting, not starting. Guys playing, not playing. And you've seen it.
Yeah.
And so when you see that, and you've seen enough of it, and all of a sudden in my heart of hearts, I really believe that the guys in Golden State at the time, I was like, guys, we have something special here. Even though nobody else knows it, I was like, we have something special. And 2 years later, after I leave, they win a championship. 3 years later, I'm playing against these guys, right, for a championship. And 4 years later, they win another championship. And so when Harrison kind of asked for humility, like, that's what a vet can do. A vet can kind of put that in the air and put that out there. And it wasn't, yes, after a while, after a while, it became like kind of a smart ass thing to ask for. But the true meaning for it, like, he was being a smart ass.
Yeah.
But the true meaning for it behind it is true. It's just like, yo, allow me to stay humble and allow me to do my job at the best of my ability. And it all started my first year, the first year they made the playoffs in, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 years since the We Believe team or whatever. Yeah. And that's where it all got started. So, you know, let Harrison be a little smart ass in chapel, but, you know, that's where the whole...
Well, it's like, it's having perspective.
Yeah, because you've seen so many good teams just, like, disappear for no reason, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, what is going on with those guys? And the coach gets fired, people get traded. And I really, really and truly believed in my heart of hearts when Draymond was a rookie, Clay was in his second year, Steph, all of these guys, I was like, yo, guys, like, we have a chance to do something special as long as everyone stays humble.
And they got,
like,
rid of the flotsam.
Yeah. They got, who was the flotsam?
That's you.
Me? Yeah, they definitely, when they got rid of me, they won a championship.
It's the stuff you throw off the ship when it's sinking.
That's some, wait, NCAA men.
That's a deep
Arizona,
right there.
Arizona's playing Texas A&M. Number 7 in the country.
Notre Dame.
Come on. No one cares about Notre Dame.
Back to addition by subtraction.
Yeah. Wow.
You go in on Duke, I got to go in on
you. You can 100%, and then I stop them from winning a championship. I'm 1-1 versus them in the finals, even though I'm 1-3 in the finals. You know what I'm saying? So, I
like Dame's quote. Everybody was criticizing LeBron's finals record. Dame was like, a lot of people are 0-0 in the finals.
0-0 in the finals. It's true. Yeah, that's another time, another talk. Would you like to come back on and have another conversation?
Love to.
Okay. We'll get you back on with one of the other guys so we can hang out a little bit. So, again, thank you. From Team Richard, we're out.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we're working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Homage. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired, and we'll get a kick out of their special design for Richard and Channing, along with 3 other designs specific to the Road Trippin' fam. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.